Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. I'm with Action International Ministries Uganda. And I thank the Lord that once again, this Lord's Day, today, this blessed day, I am able to share the Word of God with you. How faithful the Lord has been to us, how good He is, how trustworthy His Word is, and what a blessing it is that we can enjoy the Word of God once again today. May the Lord of glory bless you. As we look at verses in Luke's Gospel today in chapter 23. And so, my friends, if you have your Bible available, by God's grace, please turn to Luke chapter 23. And I'll soon read verses 32 through 43 from the New King James Version, the Holy Bible. We're looking today at the conversion experience of the malefactor or the thief on the cross, who was saved in his dying hours, his very last moments. He was saved by the powerful grace of God. And so we want to examine these verses and see exactly what was involved in his process of coming to salvation and of going to be with Christ in paradise. That is, we want to take a look at the events of his life and understand how it is that he was saved from his sins. What did God do in his heart to save him? We remember that salvation is of the Lord, and that is so clearly evident in the conversion of the malefactor. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. You can learn more about Action International Ministries Uganda, and you can avail yourself of more ministry materials, including audio sermons, at www.actionuganda.net. That's www.actionuganda.net. I think it's good that we remember again today to pray for this blessed ministry of ABC Radio, for Max and Collins and those who daily serve the Lord in preaching the treasure of God's truth, the Word of God, preaching the gospel to people in Uganda. And so, my friends, now let us pray. Father, thank you. We do remember ABC Radio, and we pray today for special grace and empowerment and love, and we pray for a keen insight of the gospel and of the teaching of the treasure of God's word for Max and Collins and for all who come to serve you through the ministry of ABC Radio. Thank you for this powerful voice that is reaching Uganda with the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the truth of the Bible, the treasure that it is indeed. Thank you, Lord. And so we ask for much grace, strong grace, a special empowerment for our friends who serve you at ABC. And we ask too, Lord, for grace for those who are listening today, that we might understand the great salvation that you gave to the thief on the cross. Have your glory in this, Lord Jesus, as we hear your word and as we see what you did to save him from his sins. And may we learn from this and give you glory, because salvation is of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, let's hear the word of God now found in Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 32. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Father, thank you for the living word. We pray that you will bless this account. We pray that you will bless this truth to our very spirits, Lord. And I cry out again for those who have not yet been saved by your powerful hand, that you would come in mercy and grace and save them, save your people, and bring each one of us into this great salvation that this man came to enjoy at the very end of his life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, we have here in Luke's gospel, in this chapter, Luke's depiction of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, how it is that he was taken by lawless hands, and how it is that he came to give his life for sinners, to take the place of sinners, to become the substitute and the redeemer of sinners, how it is that he came to pay the purchase price to release us from our captivity to sin, Satan, death, hell, and misery. We see in the gospel account how it is that Jesus mightily suffered a scourging. He suffered as he carried the cross, though Luke tells us in verse 26 that a man by the name of Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, was made to help carry the cross, to bear it after Jesus, that they laid the cross upon him. And so in his great agony, the Lord Jesus is going to Calvary, to the skull, the hill of the skull, to be crucified for us, all in the plan of God, in his marvelous grace, to bring to people the common grace of God and the saving grace of God. And he came especially and particularly to shed his blood for those that the Father had given him, to those who would believe on his name and so be saved. And Luke tells us that a great multitude of people followed him as he struggled through Jerusalem to Golgotha, and that women mourned and lamented him, crying in their tears and sadness and sorrow that Jesus was suffering such things. Their hearts had been touched by his great agony. And Luke tells us in verse 28 that Jesus turned to the women and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" And so in his sufferings, the Lord reveals truth to the daughters of Jerusalem, calling them to believe and to repent of their sins, to escape the great judgment that would come upon the city of Jerusalem, upon the Jews as a people, as a nation, because of this great sin of the murder of Jesus Christ. He again preaches the gospel to the daughters of Jerusalem, bringing truth to them, sharing, telling them that though he is suffering, he calls upon them to not weep for him, but that they must weep for themselves because of their lost state, and that they must come to Christ, and that they must be saved from their sins, they and their children, so that he calls them to weep tears of true spiritual mourning and repentance, and so escape the awful guilt of the people who killed the Son of God, who crucified Jesus, the Lamb of God, who nailed him to the cross, who had treated him so spitefully. And now our focus this morning in verse 32, Luke brings before us this scene that there are two criminals. They are described as robbers in Mark's gospel in chapter 15 and verses 31 and 32. Matthew alludes to this too, that they are robbers. And so they must not have been common thieves, but it must have been that their robbery involved great harm to others, such that they were inflicted with the death penalty. It was a high degree of harm. It was a great crime which would require their crucifixion. And so robbery is involved, perhaps also the death of their victims, or great injury or harm to their victims. And so these others, identified there by Luke as criminals, are led with him through Jerusalem in this scene of chaos and scene of anguish and scene of torment for these three men being led to their painful deaths at Golgotha. The crowd must have been shouting loudly. Luke has told us that many women were present, a great multitude of people, and that the women were crying out in their loud Oriental Eastern way in mourning and lamenting. It must have been a scene of great confusion, and in this activity and violence, there is this strong movement of the people as Jesus and the criminals are led to their crosses. And so it is that Luke tells us that they were led to the place called Calvary, and there Jesus was crucified with the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Luke tells us that Jesus then said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." I love that verse. That verse has been in my heart for many, many years, since my early childhood. I remember thinking and talking about the fact that Jesus prayed for the forgiveness of those who were killing him, of his murderers. We find it here. I thought about that often before I ever came to Christ, perhaps 20 years before I came to Christ, and I would mention this to people. Jesus calls upon his Father for the salvation, for the forgiveness of those who killed him. And so it is that he continues there, Luke, to describe to us the events of this scene. And so, my friends, we want to focus this morning on the conversion of one of the thieves who was crucified with Jesus. And we see in Luke's gospel, in the verses that I read to you, that one of the criminals there in verse 39, who had blasphemed him, now then continues in his unbelief. But one of the criminals who Mark and Matthew tell us had blasphemed him in verse 40, then expresses to the first crucified criminal that Jesus has done nothing wrong, that he should fear God because he is in his last moments. He is under the condemnation of death. And his question is, do you not even fear God at this time? Seeing that you are soon to depart this world, do you not fear God? We receive this judgment justly. We have committed evil, But this man has done nothing wrong. And so we see the great work of salvation in this man's life, in this blessed testimony, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit, that we might have great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have great hope from this account because we see that God is powerfully able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save a man within minutes or at the most hours of his death. Jesus can save just prior to death. And so we have great hope that we may be saved today from our sins, at this moment from our sins. And we have great hope that others will come to Christ at some point before their last breath, because Jesus is mighty and able to save. But we also have a solemn warning that we must not presume upon the grace of God, take it for granted. And we dare not think, as many have thought and been mistaken and lost their precious lives. They came into the fullest condemnation because they thought this way. They thought, I will delay my repentance to God. I will wait until the last minute and enjoy my life until then. And then I will simply escape from my sins and repent of my sins. That is a great deception, my friends. We dare not presume upon the grace of God, because we see that the companion thief was condemned. He died in his sins and unbelief. And though his friend found grace to repent, he was lost forever. Even upon a call to his senses, a call to repentance from his dying companion, at the last, he failed to repent. And so we must see that there is no guarantee that any man would repent at the very end. Because, my friends, as we see so powerfully in this account, salvation is the gift of God. It is not of man who wills or who runs to save himself. We are not saved by the will of man. In fact, we cannot save ourselves. We see so clearly in this testimony that it is God alone who came and delivered and saved the thief on the cross. And so our great need today is that we be saved today. It is the greatest folly to wait to be saved, to wait to repent in Christ. In fact, the road that is paved to hell is a road that is marked with these dead bodies and souls. Those who said, I will repent later, even at the end. And so it is that they come into eternal damnation. In this process that Luke describes to us, we see at first that the lost man who came to Christ at the very end, the lost thief who was saved, has blasphemed Christ. He has come to be crucified. He is crucified. He is hanging on the cross with Jesus, next to Jesus, but he does not believe in Jesus. In fact, he has blasphemed Christ. He has cursed him in some way. But as time goes on, as he has seen the inscription that is nailed on the cross above the head of Jesus, this is the King of the Jews, as he has heard Christ cry out, Father, forgive them, as he has heard the crowd speak and yell about how this man said that he was the Messiah of God, the Savior of any person from death and sin, as it is that he was keenly aware and observed how the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in grace and gave up his ghost eventually in grace, as he saw all of these events of the dying Savior's life, his final moments, how it is that he refused sin, how it is that he loved God, how it is that he did not curse, how it is that everyone spoke of his promised ability to save, how they spoke of what he had done, that the thief's heart is powerfully overcome and he is converted to Christ. This happens by the Holy Spirit who indwells him. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ unites himself to the spirit of this man while he is hanging on the cross, and he brings him instantly to faith, a saving trust in Christ, a reliance and a confidence that Jesus can save him. He leads him to commit his life to Christ. He humbles him so that he calls out, "Only this, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He becomes convinced that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the Savior, who can deliver him from death. And so it is that he believes in the Savior and is saved from his sins. And by the grace of God, he receives the gift of faith. At his indwelling, at the moment that he is united to Christ by the indwelling, then it is that he repents of his sins. And this all happens rather quickly. This surely must have happened within at the most hours. Jesus was crucified. He hung on the cross for about 6 hours, from about 9 in the morning until about 3 in the afternoon. This man witnessed all of these events. This man saw Christ crucified. But more importantly, the Spirit of Jesus rescued him as a trophy of grace, as a glorious example of his ability to save. And is that not like the Son of God, that two men would be crucified beside him and that he would take one into his eternal kingdom with him as he passes from this world, that he would leave one yet in his sins perhaps to show humanity our absolute need of the power of Jesus to touch our hearts? Jesus saves this man for his own glory, for his Father's glory. Though he was mocked by the soldiers, though they gambled for his garments, though they scorned him, though they mockingly said, "You saved others, save yourself," and though the criminal who is saved too blasphemes him, that means he declares him with scorn and a curse to be less than God that he is. He blasphemes God the Son, saying, "If you are the Christ," not declaring you are the Christ, but saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Though all of this happens and the man is totally lost in sins, in a moment, in an instant, he comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of grace, and he is regenerated. He comes to fear God, verse 40. He comes to see the justice of his condemnation. He comes to see that this is a due reward from the sovereign God for the evil that he has committed. And he comes to see, he is convicted of the righteousness of Christ. He comes to see that there is a judgment for evil and that he is of evil. He has committed evil. He is evil. And that Jesus is righteous. Jesus has done nothing wrong. And by the grace of God, again, receiving in the indwelling the gift of repentance, this man converts to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is regenerated after the indwelling. He believes in his heart in Christ. He truly repents of his sin. He confesses with his mouth there in verse 42 that Jesus is Lord. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he turns fully from condemnation, fully into the marvelous light. That is, he is converted by the grace of God and comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saved from his sins. Notice that rather quickly, God has done this powerful work in the man's heart so that he now is completely turned from darkness to light, asking for entrance, asking for admission into the eternal kingdom of the living God. This man has become sensible of the reality of God and of the reality of the Son of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. This man has come to have an affection for Christ. He wants to be from his heart. He has feelings for Christ. He has love for Christ. He has trusted Christ, asking, crying out that God will have mercy. This man has willed to come to Christ now that God has powerfully effected his will and moves him to will and do, to turn his life over to Christ, to come to Christ. Again, simply declaring in humility that God would remember him, God the Son. And Jesus declares to him there in verse 43, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the wonderful attestation of the Son of God that he had saved this man at the last agonizing moment, that he delivered him and that he had translated him spiritually and that he would take him to paradise, that is the heavenly presence, the dwelling place of his Father. Jesus came to seek and save this man and saved him by his personhood, by his presence, by his spirit. He delivered him from his sins and picked him as a brand from the burnings and took him to his Father. Jesus accomplished his mission. That is, he came to seek and save this man. And indeed, he did save him from his sins. That very day, the Lord Jesus spiritually went to paradise. And this man, a forgiven sinner, also went to paradise to be with him, where he is now, with Jesus the Lord. And so the process of his conversion, my friends, declares the power of God. And I must end this sermon now, but I must end it with a question to you. Have you truly experienced the power of God in your spirit to save you so that you truly believe in your heart and truly repent, so that you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, so that you convert and come into sanctification, that is, into a state of holiness before God and in a state of growing in grace and knowledge of God? Has God saved you by his power? The thief on the cross who died in his sins died without experiencing the salvation of God. The power of God had not reached him or touched him. But my question to you is, are you like the thief on the cross who came under the saving power of God? Has God touched you and saved you? And notice, my friends, that I'm not asking you, have you done something to try to come to God? I'm not asking you if you have believed in mere human ability in Jesus. I'm not asking you if you simply agree with these facts in an intellectual way. I'm asking you, have you, in the entirety of your person, in your mind and heart and will, experienced God's touch? Has he touched you? Has he saved you? Has he powerfully delivered you so that you have this great common salvation that everyone who is saved by God enjoys. Has He made you alive? Has He given you faith so that you believe by the gift of God, saving faith? Has He touched your heart? Have you received the gift of repentance? Has Christ united Himself to you? Are you His? And so these are many good questions that we must ask ourselves today. And as you ask yourself these questions, let me encourage you again to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who does shall be saved, and to repent of your sins. Truly, everyone who does will not perish. And so we see the love of Jesus, the saving love that comes to this broken, needy, dying man in his last agonies. Has that dying love touched your heart and taken you captive? Has He captured your heart by His saving love, His dying love? Father, thank You for this time. Bless these words, but especially the Word of God to the hearts of my friends. And save them, Lord. Save us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord of glory bless you.